As we continue to journey on our way to the cross with Jesus, talking about what it means to be people of the way. Okay, there we go. We're going to back up a little bit. We're going to talk about being free to be found. We're going to talk about being free as they are in this story. But this story started with Dion reading this kind of reminder that Luke gives us. We started this journey together on Ash Wednesday. We started with Jesus setting his face to Jerusalem and saying, this is where we're going and this is where this is going to end. It's going to end in the seat of power, and you're going to watch what happens when love and power confront one another and the world won't understand. Well, we're on the fifth Sunday of Lent, counting Ash Wednesday. That means we've already talked about this five times, about being a people who are on the way of Jesus. And we too need to start with this reminder that Jesus is still headed to Jerusalem, and Jesus is still going to go intentionally into suffering. And sometimes we still don't get it, that this is the way we are called to walk. Before Jesus reminds the disciples what's going on, there's a crucial question that is kind of answered by today's stories. See, in the chapter before this, we have this famous story about the rich young ruler. And before that, we have some of the famous left behind lines about two women who are grinding meal together, and one will be left grinding and the other will be taken away in some kind of rapture. I'm not going to talk anymore about what that means in particular at the moment. There's plenty of books about it, or you could just ask Scott Carter. I think that's his Sunday school class right now. But what we do know is that the disciples have a crucial question on their mind. Jesus has told this kind of harrowing story about people being taken away and some being left behind. And then this rich young ruler has come to him and said, look, I obey all the laws. I do it just right. And Jesus says, yeah, okay, well, give away everything you got. Take care of the poor. And the man turns away dejected. And at the end of that story, the disciples turn to Jesus and say, who can be saved then? It's a hard question, because it is this theodicy question, this why do things happen to certain people and who really belongs and who's really going to get into this kingdom? And so Luke gives us two very different stories. He reminds us that Jesus is living life in a different way, and he is heading to Jerusalem. But before you get to Jerusalem, you have to go to Jericho. And in Matthew and Mark's Gospels, this story of blind Bartimaeus happens as Jesus is leaving Jericho. But for Luke's story, the geography is a little different. Jesus is headed into Jericho, this city of significance in the history of Israel. And as he is headed in, he encounters this dejected one, this loser. Dude was born blind. He's on the side of the road. He's a nuisance. To be a beggar in that culture was no better than to be a beggar in this culture. It is still something that is looked down upon. And there he is, this blind guy who hears this commotion and cannot see it. And so he says, what's going on? And when people tell him, it's Jesus of Nazareth, it's Jesus, then he will not be quiet. He can't see, but he sure can talk. And he starts screaming, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd, who loves decorum and order as we know it, says, shh, don't bother the man. Shh, you're in our way. Shh, we're tired of hearing your calls. There reaches a certain point in life where you lose shame. Shame, this uncontrollable thing that holds us back from being who we are called to be. And sometimes, I don't know if it's, people make the argument, if you get to a certain age, you lose shame. I don't know about that. But I do know that you get to a certain life situation where sometimes you are so far gone, we call it rock bottom, where you have no shame. And that is exactly the moment when you are finally free to call out, Jesus, I need you. And no matter who says, hush, you just don't care. Because you have recognized the state of your brokenness. And what those people think about you doesn't matter anymore. The only thing that matters is that you connect with the one who can save. And so you scream out. And here's the beautiful part of that. He is screaming out, and he is shouting, and they are hushing him, and he screams out, and Jesus stops. He's walking. And get this, this is important. Jesus, at this point in Luke's gospel, is on mission. He has an agenda. He is headed to Jerusalem. There is work to be done. Sound like us? I can't stop and do that right now because I've got to do this. I can't help you, person who is in need, because I got stuff I got to do. I can't. Look, I'm part of a bigger plan. Well, here's the Son of God, part of a bigger plan. And he stops. He stands still. And he calls for the man to be brought to him. And he asked this question that we all get when we encounter Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? See, this man is a great example because he's finally hit the point where he understands that he's ready with an answer. And he says, let me see again. And there's deep irony in this story that all of those who could see Jesus missed all of the grace. And it was only the one who knew he was blind who could see God ready to work. That's a good story. It's one of my favorite. The Jesus prayer is my go-to prayer in times of anxiety or when my ego gets too big and I need to get out of my own way and remember my brokenness. But it is crucial that we pair that story with the story of Zacchaeus. Because watch, the crowd has hushed this guy, and the crowd rejoices after Jesus heals him. They have a change of heart. That's great. This is awesome. God is working, and the blind have received sight. Look at this prophet in our midst. And then Jesus, who has stopped, continues walking. And as he continues walking on his mission, he looks up, and there is this little guy, this tax collector, he of the infamous song, this chief tax collector, he's just up in a tree, hanging out, trying to catch a view. And Jesus walks right to him, and he says, Zacchaeus, get down, buddy. I have to go to your house today. I must. And this crowd who has been walking with Jesus, who has celebrated when grace showed up in the one who was broken, now grumbles. Luke would typically say the Pharisees are grumbling. We expect that from Luke. After all, they're just a bunch of grumblers. It's not the Pharisees here, though. It's this whole crowd who has been praising God working in their midst. But the minute that grace moves beyond a boundary that we can accept, everybody is ready to rail against it. I like the translation that Donna read. I don't know what it is, but as I've studied this story of Zacchaeus more and more this week, I've become convinced that I've been reading it wrong for 37 years. Well, I couldn't read when I was born, so whatever that is. 36, I could read at one. Maybe I need to do some more Jesus prayer. See, we always read this story as Jesus comes to Zacchaeus and he says, I've heard about you. You're kind of a bad dude. Let's roll. He goes to his house, and inside his house, they're sitting down and they're eating this meal, which all these meals are so important to Jesus. And Zacchaeus says, you've gotten me convinced. From now on, I will give away half of what I make. That's not a good translation. What Zacchaeus says is in the present tense. And so the story actually goes like this. Follow the movement again. Jesus has started walking again after Bartimaeus has his sight. The crowd is rejoicing. He comes to Zacchaeus, who wants to see what grace looks like, but discovers that grace was looking for him, and says, "Hey, get down. We got to go to your house." And Zacchaeus is primed and ready to offer the highest hospitality. He doesn't stutter. He doesn't say, you know what, the dishes are piled up in the sink. I'm not ready to host you. He doesn't say, well, you know, let me call and check. He just says, let's go. And as they are walking, Zacchaeus stops. And he says, look, I'm already giving away half of what I take. And if I have wronged anyone, I'll follow the law and I'll give back four times what I have defrauded them. And then they carry on walking. Why that makes a difference is because it's a difference for the crowd who's watching. Because what we discover is that Zacchaeus has not been wrong. He's been doing it right. For Luke, giving to the poor is a sign of God's salvation showing up, period. For Luke, taking care and almsgiving to those who are in need is a sign that God is with someone. And if we read this in the translation where we accept that Luke understood how language works and that the present tense is real, then we understand that Jesus has seen who Zacchaeus is all along. It's those of us around, the crowd, who have missed the boat. We are the ones who can't accept that this chief tax collector could actually be beloved by God. Not only beloved, but this chief tax collector could actually be doing the right thing already. And then is embraced by Jesus. Embraced to the point that Jesus says, today salvation has come here. It's crucial we pair these stories for this reason. All of us have boundaries. I'm not sure what boundaries are. Obviously, it's a box drawn with a brown crayon. Those are boundaries. Let me try it again. I'm going to just walk in the same thing. Pam's always going to edit it out. If you ever listen to any of these recordings, nothing is ever edited. It's just me rambling about editing, and then I start again. All of us have boundaries around which we want to draw, where grace cannot go. For some of us, we don't think grace can go to the losers. And for some of us, we don't think grace can go to the winners. And what Jesus says is, grace strolls through town and it just takes everybody who's willing to see it. We are the ones who need to be free of our blindness. As people of the way, we got to let go of these preconceived notions of where grace can show up. We have to pray this Jesus prayer and remember we are all sinners in the same boat. No one better than anyone else. And then we get free to not only receive grace, but to see grace move in our midst. Jesus didn't come to put chains on us. Came to set us free. And there are none of us who don't need a little more freedom. Amen.